Before we get started officially this morning, I have to tell you that I think today's scripture passage should come with some sort of a warning label on it. I think it should come with some sort of a warning label because it says some difficult to hear things to us and about us. And it says the kinds of things we'd probably prefer not to think about and things we would definitely prefer not to talk about. But it's in the Bible, and it kind of seems like cheating to just skip over the hard stuff and only stick to the easy parts, right? And it's kind of easy to just pretend the hard things or the things we don't understand don't exist, just because we don't like them. So here's your warning. Take a deep breath. Brace yourselves for what Hebrews chapter 4 has to say to us today. And if you'd like to read along, it's found on this half-page insert in your bulletin, Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. And it says this: "Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now, I was busy looking down reading, so I didn't. Did anybody get up and walk out? No? Everybody's okay. Everybody's still here. That's a good sign, because this passage has some kind of harsh things to say at the beginning, but I promise there's good news at the end. So if you're not quite sure how this sermon is starting, just hang on there, and hopefully we'll all catch up together at the end. So as I read this passage over and over and over again this week, thinking about what I might say to you this morning, I started to think about how we spend a lot of time and money and energy hiding. We spend a lot of time and money and energy hiding. We hide behind masks that we create, that make us look like we know what's going on, that make us look like we have everything perfectly under control, life is fine, I can handle any road bump or speed bump that happens to come in my way. I mean, we can't, but we like to look like we can't. So we wear these masks over our lives, and we hide behind them, hoping that our friends and our enemies and our frenemies and our friend and our family and our neighbors, they won't actually notice that we don't really have a clue what's going on. And pretty much everything is out of our control. So what do? We try to put on a stiff upper lip, right? Keep a stiff upper lip. We put on a good front and we never let them see us sweat, right? This is the mask that we hide behind. And I guess that's all well and good, if that's all you want from your life, is hiding behind a mask, never truly being known by the people around you or being known by the God who loves you. So you can go on hiding who you really are and trying to fool the people in your life into thinking that you've got it all going on. If that's what makes you feel good, I guess go ahead and do that. But hear this word of warning. You better stay away from God if that's the way you want to live. Because there's no hiding from God. no mask is thick enough or tied on hard enough to keep God out. Hebrews tell us that God's words are sharp, cutting to the very heart of each one of us. God's word will rip the mask right off of our face and off of our lives, and it will split us open like a frog in biology class. Split open for all the world to see. God's words will pierce our hearts and leave us naked and laid bare before the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account of our lives. Hebrews warns us there is no place to hide from God. And whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, here the Bible is saying we will each have to give an account for our lives and for our masks and for all of the ways that we try to hide from God and hide from each other. We will have to give an account of the condition of our hearts, the places that have become hardened inside of us, and the places in our hearts that have become brittle, and the places where we have tried to shut God out and say, I'm not letting you in. We will have to give an account one day for that. And I know we like to talk about God and love and how God loves everybody, and 9 times out of 10, that's what you hear from me on a Sunday morning. But one of the clearest images of God in the Bible is that of a judge, right? And when we come across one of those passages, like here in Hebrews, we have to stop and ask ourselves, what's in our hearts? My heart is pretty full of sin, frankly. There's some good stuff in there, but I'm afraid sin tends to outweigh everything else. So how are we to approach God in prayer? How are we to stand in God's presence knowing that our hearts are full of sin? How do we even dare come into his sanctuary on a Sunday morning knowing the condition of our hearts? When God's word splits us open and lays us bare, we know that our sin is revealed for us to see, plain and clear as day. And it might also mean our sin becomes revealed not just to God, but to others as well. So if you want a life of hiding from God and yourself and living with this mask over your face in your life, I suggest you steer clear of God, because he's going to do his best to take that mask away. But if you want a life that is more than just hiding behind a mask, if you want a life that is full of honesty and authenticity and power and humility, then by all means, let God's word split you open and pierce your heart. The Bible says, draw closer to God and he will draw closer to you. So if you want more than just life behind a mask, allow God's word to pierce your heart like a sword, cutting you open and exposing your heart, knowing that light is the only way to chase away darkness. Allow God's words to slice you open and inspect you, because that's how we are convicted of our sin. And that's how we become a conqueror over our greatest temptations. Now, there's a good chance that you might be afraid of this, to be exposed and laid bare before God, to take your mask off, to be vulnerable, and to share who you really are as a person full of faults and flaws. And it's scary to do this, because when you're really aware of your sin, you know the punishment that you deserve. You know the dark thoughts and the secrets and the grudges that you keep in your hearts. And we try to put a mask over that. We try to hide that from God. Because you know that these things don't honor God, the God who loves you so much that he died for you. So thinking about this might actually want to make you hide even more and tie that mask on your face and on your life a little bit tighter because you don't want to let go. Because you wonder, how in the world could you possibly withstand God's judgment when you give an account of your life and your heart? Part of the good news I have for you this morning is if you're feeling that way, you're not the only one. It's actually a fairly common feeling to have, and especially if you think back to the Old Testament days. God's people, the Israelites, they felt like they didn't even deserve to be in the same room with God. So when they built the temple and they built the tabernacle, the place where they believed God lived, nobody could go into. And there was a big, thick curtain that hung across that doorway so that there was no mistaking the fact that you were not worthy to be there with God, right? God dwelled there behind this thick curtain, hidden and separated from everybody else, because he is holy and we are not. And if you remember, it's only the great high priest who was worthy enough to pass through the curtain to get into the Holy of Holies and to be in God's presence. And it was only one guy who could do that, and it was only one day of the whole year that was holy enough for him to do that as well. And so on that day, behind that curtain, he would make a sacrifice that would atone for the sins of the people, so that just for that moment in time, their sins were forgiven, their hearts were cleansed, and they were right with God. Now, fast forward to the days of Jesus, who this passage calls our great high priest. Jesus was the one big sacrifice that atoned for our sins, so we don't have to worry about that. And he is the great high priest who sacrificed, not just a sacrifice, but sacrificed himself, ushering us into God's presence eternally and permanently. And we know this because we read that when Jesus died, what happened to the curtain in the temple? It ripped, right? It ripped in half. So that barrier that kept us separated from God was gone. The curtain was torn in half, and now there are no more boundaries and no more barriers and no more separation between us and God. No longer is God only for the holiest of holies among us. No longer is he just for the religious elite. When the curtain was torn in half, it's like we received VIP all-access backstage passes into God's heart, courtesy of Jesus Christ himself, who is our great high priest. So Jesus, who was a human like one of us, is also our great high priest who serves God in heaven and intercedes on our behalf. So there's no more need to hide from God or from others or from yourselves, because our great high priest, he is sympathetic to us because he knows all about the trials and temptations that you face in this life. He knows how difficult it is to be faithful. Yet he didn't give in to disobedience like we so often do. So in a way, this God who is our judge, who will ask for an account of our hearts and our lives one day, this judge is also the giver of grace, who shows us mercy that we do not deserve. So Hebrews encourages us not to be afraid of God, not to hide from God, but rather to approach the throne of grace, not with our heads hanging down and our tails tucked between our legs, dreading the judgment that one day will come. Instead, Hebrews encourages us to walk right up to the throne of grace, walk right into the sanctuary, right up to God's throne with boldness and confidence and fearlessness to receive what we know God wants to and will give us, grace and mercy for our time of need. So through Jesus, who was our great high priest, we receive forgiveness for our sins, this VIP all-access backstage pass to God's throne of grace, and he gives us the ability to find joy in the midst of the broken world that we live in. So it's with hearts full of not bitterness or angriness or hearts that have been hardened, but it's with hearts full of profound gratefulness that we dare to approach this God who is both our judge and our Father. And this all-access pass to God through Jesus, really, it really does make a difference in our everyday lives, in the midst of heartbreak and suffering and devastating loss and just the utter selfishness and greediness that seems to have taken over the world around us. And in fact, here's a little teaser for the next couple of Sundays. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks when we gather here for worship, how Jesus can help us to find joy in the midst of a broken world. We're going to read through the book of Philippians as we do that. Jesus can help us not just with sort of dealing with the brokenness of the world around us, but he can help us with the brokenness inside of us. Brokenness that can only be healed by being exposed and split open and having our hearts pierced by God's words. So this week, if you're ready to stop hiding behind a mask and if you're ready to stop trying to fool everyone around you and pretend you're not really as broken as we all truly are, I have a little mission for you. And I won't call it a, you know, mission impossible, but, you know, you can undertake this if you would like. If you turn this page over that had the scripture passage on it, you will see four questions, and I labeled them piercing questions Jesus asked. And so I challenge you to take some time. You don't do them all at one time because that would probably be kind of overwhelming and you would quit probably after the first one. But take one every day or every other day. Read the scripture passage that is mentioned there and then read the questions that I've included. And take some time to think about your own brokenness and that stuff that you're trying to hide from the rest of the world. Read each question, think about your brokenness, take time to allow God's word in these passages to pierce your heart and to leave you bare and to leave you exposed. Be honest in a way that maybe you've never been honest before. And I know as you're looking at this, you're probably like, Allison, these are not that difficult questions. They are simple, but sometimes the simplest questions can have the most profound answers and can lead to even more profound healing. Maybe even healing for something you didn't even know that you needed. And, you know, you don't have to tell me if you do this, and I'm not going to ask you to turn in your answers when you come to church next week, so don't worry about that. This is something for you to do to help you grow in your relationship with God. Now, P.S., I'd love, if you do this, I'd love to hear about it, how it goes, but I won't demand that of you. So, friends, sometimes scripture should come with a little bit of a warning label, but we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to hide from God. We know that with great boldness, we can approach God's throne of grace so that in our time of need, God will give to us what he has always wanted to give to us and what he promises to give to us, which is grace and mercy in our time of need and to help us find joy in a broken world. And that is God's unbreakable promise to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.